This morning I would like us to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Now we'll read verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. This morning I want us to think through this theme of sinfulness of the human heart. And it's a great doctrine of the Bible, the sinfulness of the human heart. I now open, but see, I dream, Mesuma, Bible, no, a cassa, nipa, kuma, bone, ayamuma. Na in church, o Bible mupa. Na in the so obia nimse na kuma boni wum. It is true. I mean, without the Bible telling us, with the natural conscience God has given us, everybody knows that there is evil in the heart, except the one who wants to be hypocrite. This will be a person in your chumini no kase enya no kure. Eno kure se boni wo yakume. And if you look at our text, Solomon firstly declared a great truth about God's providence. You know, from chapter 8 coming, he had been talking about things as they happen. So if you look at it, he said that there's one event unto all. And that is how it is when you look at things, how they happen outwardly. I mean, the event has happened, and when you want to look at it, oh, the same thing. For instance, sickness, losses, plagues, tragedies, death, it happens to everyone. If you say that those who sacrifice not, that those who worship God, those who worship not, those who are clean, who are unclean. Because even the best of men, there is sin in the heart. Because all these calamities are caused by sin. So even the best of men, there is sin in the heart. So though to the believer or the child of God, they don't come as punishment, they come. And God himself support them through it, whether in sickness, whether in plagues or loss, whatever. Because the believer knows that whatever he has is in the hands of God. And God is the one who takes off his life. But the unbeliever thinks everything is for him. His life, everything. So when he loses it, or when illnesses come, he has nowhere to turn to. There's no hope. There's no comfort. All that is that he has lost, or he's sick, and that death is coming. He's afraid of it. The air can say, Even Oma Femua, a choir of Faso, a diacho be an answer or de Faso, a ma wankasa, O Christo Brabono, a quay. In whatever say, who Christo knew who are on himself called Yancuponte, or any Jesu, a woo beton. But the only Christo, a woo beton, and any machine, if so, Nim be beer or beco. And that is how it is. So, Solomon, some of the things he says here, some people say, Solomon is saying that, I mean, it doesn't matter if you worship God or not. But that's what he's saying. He's looking at the thing as it happened. But that's not all that the Bible talks about. So sometimes when the Bible talks about death, it's about physical death. Sometimes when the Bible talks about death, it's about spiritual death. Some is about eternal death. So you look at the context in which the person is, or the passage is talking about. For example, the death he spoke about here is about physical death. But is that all about death? No. We'll look further about that. There a war kind of verse you must say after that they go to the dead, you know. I see a movie in ya omuku woman. A wound miss my woo and you swear ya. And can and fat miss ma soon soon when you pay woo and answer that in the Bible. Near cast the Bible not saying a woo and yet a issue whoop it. A more we have things more things death that we have. Death more than just the physical death, the spiritual and the eternal death. Okay, so he's talking about how things happen in the world. I mean, we call providence. I mean, how God ordered things to happen in the world, and it happens to both the good and the bad. So back to our text, that this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. And you see, when you are a child of God, sometimes these things, when they happen, it even tells you, oh, but why should this happen to me? Remember in Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah himself, the prophet of God, when he was so much pressed, he said, oh God, thou hast deceived me. He was even wrestling with God. But that's how it is. When afflictions come, sometimes the good man will even, question God and all that. But because of the state of this world. But it is not so. And there's a comfort even in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 12. There's a verse that though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, with which fear before him. So there's a difference. The difference is not the event, but the difference is what God deals with the individuals that the events happen to. So he said that it is evil, but such evil is not the event itself, but what men make of it. You see, when there's an accident, it's a bad case. But before God, is it a bad case? No, God has a purpose inside things. And when we look at the things as they happen, we might declare otherwise. So, but we are not going to consider this thing. Our main focus is about what? The second thing he declares from the other portion of the text. That here also, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. This is the portion I want us to consider for our meditation this morning. You know what? Here also, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. You talk about the heart of man is full of evil. Just recently, I was listening to BBC, and I heard them that the doctors in a certain hospital in Maryland, USA, have transplanted a genetically modified dog's heart to a human patient who was suffering. And they said it was done successfully, but they were waiting to see in the few days how it will happen. I don't know what has happened to that. And so when you talk of the heart, people think that it's about the physical heart, but that is not what the Bible is talking about here. The heart, as it's used here, is not the physical heart. It's not the organ that pumps the blood, but the place of our emotions. The place of our emotions, the seat of our motives and intent, the source of all our actions. It's not the heart that pumps blood that does that. You see, it's immaterial part of us. They can say, "Akumana Bible woka wa nenyi akumana a pumpi a mama moje di a husane wo yemu no." Na meka say na nsa na bi te BBC na me te say US doctors bi at the kramai na kuma no mo adada no mbi akwese nipa muma o mo say o mo kwese betumi aye adwuma na meka say eno eye te say akumana a yehu say pumpi a mama moje di a husane no na mo no akuma na Ecclesiastes ka wa hanu enu nye no akuma we akuma yefie ni hu ye ntumi fa ensanka na ye akuma e ho na ye adwendwen ye pe ene ye ni je ni nyoma e pese nya ne fiba se nipa peso ye bibia ho na bibia no e start fi. So it is the center of our being, as everything comes from that place. So the heart, as we see, is like the remote control, and every desire, every thought is regulated by the heart. Whatever a person will say, before he says it, he has weighed it in the heart. Whatever the person will desire, whether good or bad, he has weighed in the heart. He has thought about it, and he has decided what to be done. And it's not this heart, the physical heart, that does that. But the heart that the Bible says is full of sin. The heart can say, "Senipa baby, senipa baby, dear baby, a shah safe in your command." And yet, Akumana, a dim moja band, and Akuma, a baby, a yepe, any genus, and your man, if you ban the honor. So, every motive of man is weighed and measured by the heart, either to do good or to do evil. The poor bear born, and Akuma, or the kind, as to soon, and the bear papa, so now Kuma, no, or this is soon. Just imagine, be like this airplane that is passing. I know that they say in aircraft there's autopilot. Where there's an emergency, they can activate that so that it will take control of the pilot and it will navigate it, to wherever it's going. And look at a faulty autopilot and an aircraft which is also, in an emergency case, where maybe the pilot cannot continue the journey. and all the pilots are maybe sometimes affected them, and the autopilot is faulty. What will happen? You know where to take it to. The air canister, aeroplane, and number me, or more be a friend autopilot. Now, I know, yes, I said, I'm not sure, and I said, yeah, pilot, no, I'm into me, and so, plenty move on, go. No, mama, I know you do, ma. Nipa, and so, I know I did, I'm not quite be a dumb. But I'm going to say, sadly, where you are best so, you're saying, and number you mean, I said, and from Mumua, who is any fun about? I mean, we the accident, Tobacco. So, such is the heart of every sinner, the very remote, the very control of the being is faulty because of sin. So when you picture the autopilot and also picture the heart of man which is full of sin, and where will it lead man to? So when sin entered the human race, the heart of man from birth is sick and faulty. Our own children tells us, look how they begin, as the Bible says, they begin to tell lies. They begin to cover up things. They begin to do things just to disturb. They begin to do things at their own will. They are willful. Don't do this. That's what they will do. Who taught them that? It's what? As we say, the depravity of the human heart, which has soiled the human race. They can say, Sa boni ase abani pa kuma mamani pa kuma ase no. Ebamu emra boni ede eba wiase. Boni betra di pemu pe ene se akuma no. Na boni ni misu se. Akuma no na nipa betumi di ahwe Yakobon. Akuma no na se bibia nka no a ebe anyom ho fa. Je ho na boni akoto. Boni atena nipa akumem. So from birth we see our lives to destruction and doom. Each one of us. So Jesus Christ comes in to repair our heart for us. We shall go on and we shall be removing from one sin to the other and we become great in our sins. But when you come to trust the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He repairs the heart. It is work. That is the purpose of coming to Christ. Because by He forgiving our sins on the cross of Calvary, that God takes away that sin. He takes away that faulty heart from us and gives us a clean and a pure heart, which is able to give us motives, intent, thoughts, that is able to steer our lives to glory. The air canister said, Akumano, Ayabone, Copim Rays Christo Bebemu, no Abessa, Akumano, the way you want your film. Now, Yakupo Mayakuma Hofron, but they have saw their bonny betchay, some more or she in Mojago coverage, you know. Now, or the ma, say, be our budget to Benyanquano. Copim Samreno, Nipa, the Cobo Akosa Bonnie, if you bonimu, ah, Copim Rebefu, we are seeing. Nanona, a vessel, no air can, it is Christo, and now, or what you bet me as Akumana Mai. It's Nipa Kuma, I say, you consider the state of the heart of the people who lived few years after the fall. Just few years after the fall. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we are told that, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I say, Genesis chapter 6, says, Nipa, I tell us, Kopimbra. So men after the sin entered the human race has been sinful and continue to be sinful, and we give birth to sinful children. They also grow, they give birth to sinful children. Our generation after generation has not better our hearts. It rather even makes us more wise in sin. For the sins of yesterday will be covered up and with a different cloth. For instance, if you come to Africa, we have African traditional religions. Now it is covered up. It is in churches. So-called prophets and pastors, they are more than the fetish priests and other things. And they've covered it up. And they've polished it, and they now have Bibles. And they say, oh, we are not going to the fetish, we are going to church. It's not the same thing. So you see, when people become wise in sin, they continue to cover the older sins and make a new sin. But before God, it's still sinful. The air can say, Bonenipa, of course, Bonimua. Of course, na Bonia Bia, that Bian Papamo and Jamwa, no Akataso, no Yen, no different when you cast any entry, a soft one, a commercial form, so Maba. Sit to know, Miss Mana Dumsi for your Munio, Masan or Moyo, Madame de Babo Natoso, Amakasu, Eddie, Equina Michi, Enyoma, and Yoma Corona or Moya. So in thinking through our subject, we shall consider three things that will be done. The effect of the sinfulness of the human heart, the extent of sin in the human heart, and how to empty sinful hearts. Because we say, the Bible says, it is full of sin. It is full, like a barrel full of water. How do we empty it? So we first look at the effect of the sinfulness of the human heart. Sometimes we don't think deeper about the effect of sin. So we see it as something shallow. So we don't really see that it's a great thing upon our lives. So drawn from our text, we have two effects of a sinful heart. Firstly, we are told that it produces madness in the life of every person. Then all the Bible, the text is in it says here also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. Because of sin, madness in their heart. Madness is in their heart. That is everyone born into this world. Everyone is a sinner, so madness is in our heart. The madness, that is folly or lack of sense. Folly or lack of sense. We don't do things sensibly before God. Not before man. I mean, before man, we might be perfectly and we might be good people. But before God, we are mad. And about spiritual things, we are mad. We are not doing things until the heart is corrected. So what kind of madness do we have here? This is not the ordinary madness which those who are affected may be helped with medical assistance. Like, you know, people are mentally deranged, we take them to the hospital or the psychiatry, and they take care of them. This is not that kind of madness. You know, when people are also, physically mad, they are thinking and they are understanding of ordinary things are irregular. Why you think this way, they think that way. Why you want to walk this way, they want to walk the opposite side. Why you want to be clean, they want to be dirty. So you see, there's irregularity about their act. So this madness is a moral or spiritual madness in the heart, in the will, the conscience, the desire, and discernment. Abodam. Bible says abodam onipa. Bonena ma abodam abanipa kumim. Na abodam na yeka sa ye jimi anasa ubi a ama nipa nya nyansa. Na nyansa na ye nya no. O nyami nim. Na mga nipa nisu di ebe tu nyansa fo pa. Ebe tu miya yonko nipa ye nya de basa basa. Ba nyanku pungu nim no. Kasi ya jen. Ewo. Enyoma. Ewo. Susu mu no. Ya jen. Enyaba pa wong. You know, a mad person, physically mad person, abnormally, he will do things in the opposite way, as I said. So is the effect of a sinful heart. Look, there's a, if you have been using from Kwabena to Dome Road, there's a madman, he always pulls a wheel cap. He's been driving it ever since I came to live Kwabena. I'm going to 4 years. You see him every morning going up and with a wheel cap. He will apply brakes, and as if he's driving, every day holding a wheel cap. That is madness. And there's one too, he'll be walking up and down with the same force, sweating every day. You see, so I'm this will have energy. That is madness. As normal beings, we say, this is madness. So let's think of our heart before God in that way. That this person is mad, riding what? A wheel cap, and he thinks he's driving a car. So we too, in our madness of our heart, before God, until God comes in to change it, whatever we begin to do for God, we will think, we are doing the best and we are doing a great thing. So it's a great thing that we think how our heart is sinful and how this sinfulness has affected our heart, so that, as the Bible says, we are mad. And that's what the Bible teaches us. You see, our madness leads us to transgress God's law, which is the moral code by which every person ought to live. You see, God, when He created the man, gave him morals. So every person, even how bad the person is, he still retains some kind of morality, to live in this world. But how do we interpret that morals? Let me just give one thing. For instance, God cautions every person about pride in Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24. He says, "Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, said the Lord." This is a summary of what? That man should not be pride. Because normally man, pride in wisdom, in strength, in riches. That's where the main pride of life is about. The wise will look upon the ignorant or maybe the foolish. They are ignorant. And that's what we pride in. And this verse teaches us that it's sinful. And the rich will look upon the poor. And the mighty, the strong. It comes to nations. Apart from individual, it comes to nations. It happens. The richer nations despise the poor nations. They do everything, and what is not good, they might even dump in somewhere. They care not. It's the same, both individual and national alike. But contrary to this, is the madness of pride in every heart. Which one of us can say that I have never been proud about a particular thing before? We are all, at fault in this. We have all gone again. This is just one of the laws that checks about what? Pride. Nyankopon asem o kan na me kan say yenhwe example ba ko say Nyankopon asem o kan fa ahomaso ho say manipa nya ahomaso na o say Awurade na o say ma nyanseni no enhoahwa no ho ne nyansem ma nea owa hoden no enhoahwa no ho ne na hoden mu na nea owo nyo ma na so iskin is mo enhoahwa no ne sike mu ba so na emom nipa ohoahwa no enhoahwa no ho say ote no ni ote Awurade as no ne Awurade. Now, a radina or ma, I am ye, ne, pepper ye, and it's in a ye, a course will be as him. Was in humor when a radis a day? Or you too? The person I do. I did say. Oh, mom, I didn't know a push your mom when you're day. Oh, my, a whisker, no, your miska, a film. Oh, my name, Yansa, a domiansa, a film. And where do we go? This is the madness in our hearts. The rich is, doing what they want. The strong is taking things, as they please. And also the wise is using their wisdom. Though they could be weak and poor, they use their wisdom to mender their way. That is the order of the day. And they will say, they are not wise, and they are not strong, they are not rich. And that's, but the Bible says, "Se oba kwa kwa anu, on kwa kwa anu se, oti ni ame asinu ni miyangu pong. Na yangu pong ne ma yemye ne chene yekosu wi asinu." The little thing we have, even believers, if you don't check, your heart, it can happen to you. You see, when at the thought of every opportunity which serves in any way to elevate you above others, even a Christian, it will tempt you. If you don't really hold your heart and check it before the Lord, it will affect you. You act in any way in a pride way. And if I should tell you, at the villages where farm work is mostly done, you see, there's pride there. Some of those farmers who are with strength, those times they will say, they have cultivated more acres than you. You cannot cultivate much. You are not strong. It's over there. You see, as those who have, the strength to do. So many may denounce pride with their lips, but in the secret and the quiet of their heart is self glorification. You see, depend on brain. Omo di omano beka se. Omo di ame ni ahuma sokra. And so ma kume muno. Omo kwa kwa. And God knows it. We may hide it for man. You can hear someone say, "I'm dust and ashes," and yet pride is his darling. The very chief sin of devils. You know, the very chief sin of devils is that our sin above the throne of God. So pride is a very great sin. Pride is a very great sin. This madness of work in our hearts to retain in any measure in our hearts. We have also other madness in our hearts of impatience. You see, how when something crosses us, whether providentially or somebody that how we want to react. You see, that's madness of envy, which feels discontent at the prosperity or the excellence of another. Why am I not the person at that place? Or I should have been this and that. It's envy. It's in the heart of every person. Of hatred. And one thing of hatred is that sometimes it covers itself with quietness. Why it keeps its hostile people like a snake. It lies down quietly. Immediately it is retreated and to show for. So all this lies in our heart because of the madness in our heart, because of sin in her heart, and malice also, which delights in the misfortune of those it dislikes. Somebody might not have done you anything, and yet because you dislike him, your wish ill has happened to whatever he or she is doing. These are all madness in her heart. And also the revengeful spirit, which tries to justify itself and does what it wants. Why God have said that vengeance is my recompense. There may cano any other may church mu bonia a we mu a Bible no say abodam because any a mu biara you know a church say ye no my go bomb say ye. Then no church say ye no I said me de bodam ni a ye to fat wo independence say obi sorry a also okura car ne rim say or drive it. Who I was free. Saa nneema na yesu yesu yeye si ni abotire yeye ahoye a yewo ebufuo yewo otan yewo pese yebe ye bi etia obi fi obi ayade etia ye ne nya agboda ma wo ye mu wo se nyakopon ni zo no se me so bo nipa no na nka nipa ho enneema abeka ho fi se bone aba ma agbodam aba yakome. And when we look at lust also, which chases after pleasure and riches to satisfy its vanities, akono bone ewo nipa akome Eda say be pay wiase nyoma na say kunama kono na say everything. The last, I mean, the last or which is after the player could be fleshy last or last after things, and it's in the heart of everyone. When we are born into this world, the first thing we think about is owning something, and I mean multiplying it. Yes, it's good to own something and to keep our life in this life, but when we set our heart upon these things and we chase after them, yes, it's good to have pleasures in this, but there are some pleasures that are sinful, which because of our mother, we don't even say it. We chase after it, and it becomes, I mean, a part of life. So our Lord Jesus Christ summarizes all this in Mark chapter 7, 21 to 23. He said that, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. There are more than this. This is why he has put it. Foolishness. They all come to make us defiled before God, not before men. Because there are some sins that people don't see, people don't frown upon it. Okay, pride. This world, people sometimes even praise pride. But before God is a great sin, you see. So we move to our second thing that this sinfulness produces. It has produced this madness in our heart, and that we always do things irregular before our Maker. The second thing is what it says, it produces death. After all this madness, say what? It produces death. And after that, they go to the dead. After all that a sinner has lived, he goes to the dead. So the death condition here is the physical death. The death here, the creature is talking about the physical death. And as I said, he's considering things as they appear. So here, he's not talking about being eternal or spiritual death, but physical death. After all the foolishness of human life, we go to the dead. It says that after the evil and madness of sinners' earthly lives, after having wasted all their years in ungodliness and senselessness, they go to the dead. They enter to a place where their sinfulness and madness cease to maneuver them. While we live in this world, our sinfulness, our madness controls our lives. Immediately one dies, that control is gone. The power of sin is taken away. But is that the end of it? No. The Bible teaches that it's not the end of it. The end can say, Christians is preaching, some kind of say, Sani pa bwana wa yakume mwa ama ya ye abodamfo nyamieni mu ye jimi sem no ye tena se koso ye nkwasi ade sa na se ye tena se boni mu a ifi mu ana ye ko wo mu na me ka se ewuo no ye ko mu ano a ewuo no ka na ye nisu wo me so ani pa wunya kwesi ye no ano ano na me se dabi enye we bre wo wo no ka kopem se nipa tena se di boni wa de bewia no wewu but they be ho after that they enter the place where their sinful does not, control them again. You know, when we talk of death, don't you know that the most common dread people have is about physical death? It's where those without the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, you can't a woo, nipa I know somebody who lives at that place. This man, I heard that he said that heaven, there's no heaven, and he doesn't even care if there's God or not. And he lives his life. And just recently, I think last November, he was attacked with an illness, and I heard that he was crying. Why, he was afraid to die. He was crying. This man said, "There's no. Why is he crying?" He's afraid of living. He's a rich man though. He's afraid to leave his property. He's afraid because death, he doesn't know. Though he has joked about what death is. But when death came to his doors, he was crying. Because he doesn't know what will happen when he gets to the grave. What will happen after next. He doesn't know. So you see, what the common fear people have about death, the physical death. How whether I'll get sick and die or... In our tradition, if you go to the villages, I don't know if it's still there. What people think of is about when they die, how they will bury them. So many people even attend churches so that when they die, they will bury them. So when you are a church and you are not like these established churches, most people will not come to your church because they think that you don't have enough funds, maybe bury them. And when they die, so they attend churches because they don't want to be buried, like they will say, they don't want to be buried like a chicken. The American said, "Nipa bebre ewo enisu wo na yedwen." When America said, "Okwe nkura se ni ade." Nipa bebre omukwa aso fi se, "Obese wo a, aso esie no, na se esie no." O se ombese wo ebesie ni se akoko. E ba ko tina twen baby. E di nipa bebre omadwen ewo wo ni se mesu be wo enisu. Na America said, "No. Ewo ewo nyawe bebre omusin de hu enisu se kwa kwesie nipa no." My friends, a life of rebellion against God testifies of a spiritual death. So, the prophet now said, "Now, on your hand, coupon. Now, why is there a new meeting and coupon? A chasing the pan woo. If you end up, I will cast a soon soon move. On any coupon in Kita who did and this spiritual death leads on to eternal death. Sir, soon soon move where I will tear see a nipa walk and cry. On any coupon in Kita who did, when you need a coso. And now the who was at the Bianimua. A two fin Yankupon who cry, and your friend will say, "Die woo." If you say Yankupon, you will tell me what you may have upon Jabio. So there is physical death, there is spiritual. The Bible teaches that. There's no, lies about that. One of the problems some of the people is that when they come to Ecclesiastes, when the Bible talks of, like, man dies like animal, oh, nipe wasa. Man dies like animals. So when man dies, it is finished. Then nipa ewu ti se abo anti owu anasa. That be. And then they will say that, oh, when man dies, he ceases to exist until the resurrection. And God, resurrect the body. But there are a lot of Bible that talks about what happens after death than just what is said here. Here he's talking about only physical death, mostly, and where the life ends at the grave, but the soul does not stay in the grave. The soul does live on. And where does it go? In Ecclesiastes, it says that the body will turn into the dust and the spirit will go back to God who gave it. So there's more to death than what Ecclesiastes. Solomon sometimes uses it at the grave and all those things. So there shall be what? The spiritual death is there. While you live without any life communion with God, without knowing your sinfulness, without owning before Him your sinfulness and asking me to pardon you, to give you his forgiveness, it's a life of death. A life that you live in, so without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, that gives life to those who are lifeless before God. Those who are without spiritual life before God. There shall be what? Judgment after death too. The Bible is so clear about that. In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, it says that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. Ecclesiastes even did not. Where we are, we don't see that. But it is appointed unto man. See, as she said, "If I will, the wish you on a temple." So you see that this sinfulness brings madness and death without salvation, death without forgiveness leads to what? Eternal death, and there will be judgment.
And again, the dead shall be awakened to judgment, as we are told in Daniel 12, verse 2, both the wicked and the good. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the Bible teaches that what? Some will be brought out from their grave, their body, though their soul is there, and they will be sent to what? Everlasting contempt and shame. That is hellfire. The Bible teaches that. That there shall be what? A final judgment where men and women who have sinned and lived in sin against God will be cast from him forever. The other place where the words are so harsh that they will be banished from the presence of God forever. The can say, Bible says, So there is what? Resurrection after the dead. There is what? Judgment after death. Death does not end in the grave. There is more to death than the physical death. But yet, because people are ignorant about the word of God, they only think of what? Physical death. And that's what they fear. But the greatest fear for every one of us should be the spiritual death. Because that is what makes you hopeless when the physical death comes. Because when the physical death comes, and it takes you in that state with unrepentant heart, without being born again, then you are doomed. But if I'm saved, let what death come my way. Let it be accident, let it be normal death, whatever it is. My life is in Christ. Those that are in Christ are preserved. But those that are without Christ are not preserved. They will be like the rich man. They will live in fear and die in fear. And that there will be nobody at the end of life to receive them to themselves. But all who come to Jesus Christ, he saves from death to spiritual and eternal life, freedom from sin, communion with God. He makes them alive to God. Communion with God, a life of prayer, a life of what? A life of dependence upon God. A life of dependence upon his word. A life which cannot have any joy except you know that it is doing what is right before God. Abrabo a ene yakopon won kita hu de ne abrabo e fan se abrabo o sunsun mu no. Abrabo e jina yakopon na sem so abrabo anim se oni ni je gisade a oyɛ no nyame asem agitum. Eno ne e ka se nipa no ɔte asem yakopon. He's alive to God because God's word is that which instructs him, and he is able to take it to himself. I'll quickly go to my second point and to my third, and I'll be done. The extent of sin in the heart. The heart is the root of every sin, of every imaginable departure from the living God. Every part of the heart is affected. You see, some people think that, yes, the heart is sinful, but not every part of us is affected. Because they think that, if our heart is so depraved, why are we able to advance in technologies, in sciences, in education, in many, many other things? But that is not, the Bible is talking about. It's talking about our relationship with God. That depravity, that's where it goes. Not about, intelligence to live and to do that, which is right. There's intelligence in man, but that is not holy intelligence if it's not used for the glory of God. So we see that the understanding, despite all advancements in literature and sciences, the understanding is utterly blinded in spiritual things. That is where the depravity comes. In spiritual things, not in science and others. They don't study spiritual things. It's all about this world and how things are. So such persons with the understanding blinded, heaven is a myth. Talk to such a person who have not known any forgiveness from God, who have not known any indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Heaven is a myth. Oh yes, he has heard it. They said it's a heaven, but he thinks that they are just joking. And God is also an idea. Oh yes, there's God, but people have made up God and they worship what they like. And also repentance is a religious fancy. Say almost say nipa no a onim yakopon no a wewu bone ahye na kuma mu ma no a na dwene wu no ose esro odwe go osro I say anasesem okan yakopon ose o nipa na a create nipa na aka kan yamabo mu se o we yakopon bibie ni ho sa osan ka say sa dwene sakra de aye omo esum na o ma se da keka nwo ma no so o so sakra wa dwene na o san o fi bone ho. Jesus Christ at best was a good teacher to them. omo anje akupon di no Jesus Christ o omo hwe ne se o no ye o chine sam chechele ne eye pa was a money pa eye die yes that's all that they can talk about him because of the understanding is blinded anyansa no nyadwe na yefo dia money pa no boni sia no nti ehu yakupon so is that is there to anything spiritual while when the believer hears of heaven he hears of God he hears of repentance he hears of Jesus Christ his desires are uplifted. He will want to seek these things. He wants to live for these things. But the one with the spiritual death moves on in unbelief and says and laughs and mocks about these things. The judgment too. The judgment too. How people are easier to embrace wisdom of this world against the truth of the Bible. They undermine what the Bible says. They rather takes on human wisdom. If you look at the Jews in Mark chapter 7, they were accusing Jesus Christ and disciples that your people don't wash their feet and hands when they come from the public place. And Jesus Christ told them, you are hypocrites. You hold the traditions of your elders. Why you undermine the word of God? It tells you the heart of man. The heart of even the Israelites who were having the Old Testament in their hand. Because of unbelief, they couldn't even see the truth of God. So they rather want to embrace the tradition of their elders and despise the word of God. So no wonder the whole world, without the saving knowledge of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you undermine what the Bible teaches. People, when you talk of repentance, oh, it's too much. I mean, what is it? I mean, let us have some liberties. Let us live our life as we please. But no. Repentance leads us and gives us the way to make us available so that God can deal with us. When we turn to Him, as the Bible says, God said, turn to me and I will turn to you. So God leads us to repentance and draws us to. So if you are not willing to repent, how can I? If I love my sins, how can God deal with me? And also we look at the will. And you know, man naturally we hate to be holy. We hate because, as I said, repentance will lead us to a life that is accepted by God. So we want to have our own way and advance in what? Sinfulness, and then we incline to more evil as we grow up. So from childhood to adulthood, our will is inclined to evil. Yes, we may advance in worldly endeavors. I mean, our field of study, our field of work, or whatever it is. But so long as our sinfulness is in the heart, the will not direct us to God, to seek after God, no. And the greatest part, the conscience. Our conscience, because of sin, is distorted. And what is conscience? Tibua, tree, kind of tibua. But because the conscience is distorted, we tend to look at good as evil and evil as good. Because it is distorted, the worship of God, His word, prayer, and life of true spirituality is a burden. Because the conscience tells us it takes too much of us because of sin. But those who have had their conscience renewed, it's a joy to always indulge in prayer. It's a joy to always come to the word of God. It's a joy to always seek to do things that God calls good. And that which God calls evil, we shun and despise. As in Isaiah, remember, Isaiah was telling the people that you call good evil and good what? You call evil good and good evil because your consciences are distorted. Remember, Cain, they were the first, people that were born after man was created. Look at how sin affected his conscience. He killed his own brother. And when God asked him, where's your brother? He cannot. That is the hard sin has made our consciences. Without the saving grace, without Christ purging us from our sinfulness and giving us that life that will really instill into our hearts the fear of God to know what is good and right. Whatever good and right morals they will teach us, it will be no avail. At a point of temptation, at a point of trials, we'll just let go and do what is not right as right. Cain, he murdered his brother, but he didn't have conscience for it. He was just, you can say that, at this time, sin has not multiplied. But just at the gate of the fall, sin was the same as today. So the sinfulness of the human heart is a great, it's a great, great thing that we have to look at. If you have not considered it as a great thing, it's a great thing. Cain could kill his brother, and because of a sinful heart, he could see no matter. God even was telling him, he could still not murder. He cannot. That is how human heart has become. So the heart is the seat of, also the seat of every unbelief, which disregards both God's promises and threatenings. That's another part. God has so many promises for us, for the sinner to come to him. And he also has threatenings that if he doesn't come to him, there's punishment. But sin have turned the heart to unbelief. It will hear it, and it will not consider it. Neither the blessings, or the promises, or the threatenings. Like the heart of Lot's in-laws in Genesis chapter 19. Sodom was going to be destroyed. Lot warned the in-laws to go with them to leave Sodom. But look at what happened in verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, "Ah, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. What judgment? What punishment? Is that not what many people today think of? When we tell them that your sin, if unrepented of, will lead you to God's judgment at the day of judgment. Oh, what are you talking about? They are like the same thing. It's unbelief. It's the heart that is deceiving many. It's the heart that is deceiving many to think that the threatenings in the Bible is just an answer story. No. As Sodom was destroyed, so one day this world is going to be destroyed. As we read in Peter, he said that the element of this world will be melted up with fervent heat. He said that what sort of people we ought to be. But unbelief will laugh at it. What is this? One day it shall be. It is the heart is also the source of the unrepentance of man that disregard God's call to return to him. When God said, "Come to me as a sinner, come to me through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Oh no, the sinner will say, "Yes, I can hear the call, but if I don't return, what happens? I can hear the call, but I love my sins. Let me enjoy my sin very little." But God says, "Return and come to me." The sinner says, "Oh no." And you don't know when death comes and it takes you. You are lost forever from the presence of God. So like the heart of the Israel of old, the Lord said, "Thou said the Lord of old, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord." It's a testimony. The Bible is recorded for us that when the Israelites were sinning, God told them to return to you. They said, "No, their heart will chase after their idols, will chase after their lust and pleasures of this world, will chase after the advantages that what they will gain in this world, and despise God's call to repentance and to turn." Many people today do that. There are many who hear the word of God. They know their heart full of sin. They know their sinfulness, but no, they disregard that. It's the unbelief which sin has worked in the heart. And that's a man cannot understand the language of the Lord. I'll move on to my last part, how to empty sinful heart. Firstly, the cure of sin is by the blood of the sinless one, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one cure for sin. If you don't have this, there's no cure for your sin. It's in the Lord, there's only the sinless one. Adam himself was not sinless. He started sin, and every generation of men are sinful. Only Christ and his generation. But Christ, he did not come in the way Adam brought his children to this world. God gave him a new body. He gave him, and he came as God, and he came to live without sin, because he cannot sin. And if he could have sinned, then he couldn't have been our Savior. He was the God of glory who took upon him our human nature. He came and offered his blood on the cross of Calvary. Because the Bible has said that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So the first cure is what? The blood of Christ. To wash away the guilt, to forgive us of every harm that same. The compilation of death that sin has accumulated for us before God, it cancels everything, and it cleanses the barrel of sin in our heart. It cleanses everything and makes us pure and white and accepted as we go. We are justified before the Lord. So this is a comforting word to believers in Romans chapter 8. It says that who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Those God has washed in the blood of Christ, who can lay anything to their charge? It is God that justifies. If God has called me justified because of the blood of Christ, who can accuse me? No one. But if I have not gone to Christ, where? Who can defend me that I'm justified? Unless you go to Christ. So it is Christ that justifies. Who is it that condemned it? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If you have trusted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you have repented of sin and given yourself to Him, this is a great promise that sin can never harm you. You always have the victory over it because Christ have paid the punishment for us on the cross of Calvary by His own blood. When He said that it is finished, He made a provision for all whom He will save. All those who He will make the children of God, He made provision for. And those that He has purchased with His blood, they are His possession. In this world, if you buy a property, it's not your own, it's your own. But why do people say that if Christ has purchased some people, then He will let them go? No, if Christ has purchased me with His blood, I am His property. In Songs of Solomon, He said, I am His and He is mine. He is mine because He, whatever He has, He will give me. He has given me a portion of His Spirit, and in glory we shall be joined as with Christ. And He owns me. If He owns me, I'm His property. Who can come and steal me from Him? Who is stronger than God? We are in His hand, and none can take out from us. So the first thing that sin, though strong it is, it has caused harm, it has caused folly, the power to cleanse us, the blood of Christ, is stronger than the sin itself. If only you give yourself up to Christ and call upon Him. No sin can stand in the way when the cleansing power of Christ sweeps through your soul. The second thing is that the power of sin is broken by the Holy Spirit when He comes to indwell the heart washed in the blood of Christ. So there's twofold. The blood washes us, the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell. And where does the power lie? The Holy Spirit comes to dwell to begin His work of sanctification. Day after day, He help us. We fight against our sins. Yes, our sins are real. We fight against them. That is the heart and the position of those He comes to save. So He gives the Spirit to strengthen us. In Romans 8, verse 11, it says that, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. If you are a believer, that is what is happening. And if you are not, if you come to Christ, this is what will happen. He will wash you with His blood, He will give you His Spirit, and then you are justified, you are sanctified before God. The air can say, Christo, near idea I want to to me and a jibon if you are Christo Moja. Now Moja no so yeah say you obia only bonny. A Christo pension only bonny, or you want a dear, but you want to add the mess more than a baba we are no. You want a young bonny, a superfro, ah, bonny him, or by trans one year bonny that. Nay, I can say, or no, that you mean Moja who, sa bonny, yeah, few, and it's ya a whole car, a whole car, a whole year, and I can say, Babu say, okay, Roman, I say, why is it better me to be out to her, Amma, or more, and who come up away your mo, ah, didn't Moja, a whole crom. Babu say, young boy, a go on movie. I said, why soon they bet me a woman for? I said, Christian, they woo ye. Then, mom, or no sooner sorry for you, from, or no, not here, Janice, and if I saw, Udi, Emma, or more, Wajomo. So, this is, Christ is daily over there, interceding for those that he has seen. Christo, take Janice, and if I saw, Ejinemo, or more, Wajomo. And I make us say, Christo, the Moja, the Atoye. So, we're jading here. So, we're jading your Moja to. Now, or the Moja to, and I'm going to say, we have the Motra there. Say, I would there. Why in a castle, why there are to know you? You will be with you. Now, why be we are a different Christian? Christian and Coupon. It is our Tommy or the Moja Towa. Will be a twin in the same view. Go Bible verse in the castle. Why the bet to me to be our tour, Sir Nipano, on Demonia meaning. Young Coupon, I tell them. And they got a dear to me and said, or did the Moja see on who we are? Or my home come from Betrayal Coombin. Now, my Hordain, it's here, Bonnie. Your Bonnie and all Hordia, and so a need to move a subio. Na o se se sa sunsun na e nya ni Christophe efuo mu no ati mu a sa sunsun na so be nya ni fiofu betumi ama wonya ahode ti asa ni pedue na sunsun na ati mu efise sunsun na ati mu ni nti. So we have this double portion, the washed blood and the indwelling of the Spirit, to take care of this fullness of the sin in the heart and the madness it has produces. So finally, friends, This is the believer's justification and sanctification, the cleansing of the blood, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. These two are combined to strengthen us if we come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So then, friends, nobody of us here should be afraid of sin, despite the harm it has done. Say we will home idea, say so be a strong bone, say be our best actor in the bone home. Mum, I ain't no more brave, I a bra boom, am I ain't no more bone be brave. Young bright Christian chain. Let us come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has the perfect cure. But let me ask you individually, have you taken your heart to the Lord? Have you asked him and have you told him the sinfulness in your heart? Have you, sat down for some time to observe your own life and brought them to the Lord that, oh Lord, I've seen that my heart is full of sin. I've lived the life of sin. And I know that your word also have said that you sent your son to come and die on the cross to share his blood for my sin. So now cleanse me. Have you ever gone to the Lord like that? And you know, sometimes you go once, you have to be going because we sin more. And the day the Lord will hear you, the day the Lord will save you, there will be a change. There will be the power because there will be cleansing and there will be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then you'll be stamped that you are a child of God. If you have not come to the Lord, I urge you to come to him and to forsake your sin. For it was the sins that took him to the cross. He cannot take you while you love those sins. Because it was the sin that made him to be hung on the cross of Calvary. So if I love my sins, how can he? I mean, in this world, how can you accommodate the thing you hate? No, you can't. He hates sin. So let's take the sins to him. And he'll help us. He'll deliver all who have been affected by it.